Turning into. So this evening we're going to read from Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 10, The Opulence of the Absolute. Yes. This is verse number 41. Yad Yad Vibhutimat Sattvam. Śrīmad-urjitam-evava tad-tad-tad-eva-eva-vagacchatvam mamate-jom-sasambhavam. Listen, Lord Krishna said, know that all opulent, beautiful and glorious creations spring from but a spark of my splendor. Purport, any glorious or beautiful existence should be understood to be but a fragmental manifestation of Krishna's opulence, whether it be in the spiritual or material world. Anything extraordinarily opulent should be considered to represent Krishna's opulence. I'll read the next verse also. This is text 42. Text number 42. Atava bahunaitena kingyatena tavarjana vishtabhyaham idam krishnam ekangshena stito jagat. But what need is there, Arjuna, for all this detailed knowledge? With a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support this entire universe. Purport, the Supreme Lord is represented throughout the entire material universes by his entering into all things as a super soul. The Lord here tells Arjuna that there is no point in understanding how things exist in their separate opulence and grandeur. He should know that all things are existing due to Krishna's entering them as a super soul. From Brahma, the most gigantic entity, on down to the smallest ant, all are existing because the Lord has entered each and all and is sustaining them. There is a mission that regularly propounds that worship of any demigod will lead one to the Supreme Personality of Godhead or the Supreme Goal. But worship of demigods is thoroughly discouraged herein because even the greatest demigods like Brahma and Shiva represent only part of the opulence of the Supreme Lord. He is the origin of everyone born, and no one is greater than him. He is Asamurdva, which means that no one is superior to him and that no one is equal to him. In the Padma Purana, it is said that one who considers the Supreme Lord Krishna in the same category with the demigods, be they even Brahma or Shiva, becomes at once an atheist. If, however, one thoroughly studies the different descriptions of the opulences and expansions of Krishna's energy, then one can understand without any doubt the position of Lord Sri Krishna and can fix his mind in the worship of Krishna without deviation. The Lord is all-pervading by the expansion of his partial representation, the Supersoul, who enters into everything that is. Pure devotees, therefore, concentrate their minds in Krishna consciousness, in full devotional service. Therefore, they are always situated in a transcendental position. Devotional service and worship of Krishna are very clearly indicated in this chapter in verses 8 through 11. That is the way of pure devotional service. How one can attain the highest devotional perfection of association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead has been thoroughly explained in this chapter. Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushan, a great acharya in disciplic succession from Krishna, concludes his commentary on this chapter by saying, Yachakti lesat suryadya bhavantyat yurga tejasa yad angsena dritam vishvam sa krishno dasamir chate. From Lord Krishna's potent energy, even the powerful sun gets its power. And by Krishna's partial expansion, the whole world is maintained. Therefore, Lord Krishna is worshipable. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports to the 10th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita in the matter of the opulence of the Absolute. Again, the translation of the verses. Lord Krishna said, "Know that all opulent, beautiful, and glorious creations spring from but a spark of my splendor. But what need is there, Arjuna, for all this detailed knowledge? With a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support this entire universe." So this chapter is called The Opulence of the Absolute. And there are many verses in this chapter in which Lord Krishna explains how we can understand his presence in different aspects of this material creation, how he is the best of everything that we know here in the material world. Just like he says, of priests, so Arjuna, know me to be the chief Brihaspati. Of generals, I am Kartikeya. And of bodies of water, I am the ocean. Ocean is very vast. Ocean is very powerful. When we go to the shore of the ocean, we feel the power of nature. So Lord Krishna is behind the material nature. That is his energy. So therefore, when a devotee goes to the ocean, he feels the power of Krishna. And he should see the power of Krishna in everything. Of the great sages, Krishna says, I am Bhrigu. Of vibrations, I am the transcendental Om. Of sacrifices, I am the chanting of the holy names, Japa. And of immovable things, I am the Himalayas. So of course, the Himalayas are very impressive. If you go there, if you fly in a plane near to the Himalayas, you sense their awesome power. Again, this is the potency of Lord Krishna. And of course, for the devotees, the chanting of the holy names is a central activity in their lives. These holy names are non-different from Krishna. As Lord Chaitanya says, Nam nama kari bahuda nija sarvasaktis tatrapita Niyamita smaranena kala itadrishi tava kripa bhagavan mamapi durdaivam idrisham ihajani nanuraga. O my Lord, you have invested all your transcendental energies in your holy names, and you have hundreds and millions of names like Krishna and Govinda, etc. There are not even hard and fast rules for chanting these holy names. Out of humility, he says, but I am so unfortunate that I have no attraction for them. That is our problem, of course, not Lord Chaitanya's problem. But he's speaking on behalf of living entities in the material world. We are attracted to material sense enjoyment. Therefore, we are suffering due to the influence of the modes of material nature and the laws of karma. But we can become free from that bondage by practicing devotional service. Yagyartat karmano nyatra lokoyam karma bandana tadarta karma kuntiya mukta sangha samachara. Lord Krishna says that one should perform all one's activities as a sacrifice. Work should be done as sacrifice to the Lord. Otherwise, work binds one to this material world. So in order to develop the consciousness of acting in service of Krishna, we must constantly chant the the holy names of the Lord, since this is the Yuga Dharma. And therefore the devotees there, they're always engaged in kirtan, satatam kirtayantumam, always chanting my glories, Krishna said, bowing down before me, endeavoring with devotion. These great souls perpetually worship me in devotion. So devotees love to chant kirtan, they always chant japa, and in this way especially they can experience the transcendental presence and transcendental association of Lord Krishna. Of all trees, I am the banyan tree, very beautiful, very impressive and intricate tree. Of sages, among the demigods, I am Narada, who appears in so many places in Bhagavatam and other scriptures, giving transcendental instructions. Of the Gandharvas, I am Chitrarata, and among perfected beings, I am the sage Kapila. So Kapila Dev is, well, actually, as we know, he's an incarnation of Krishna, and he gives most wonderful transcendental instructions in the Srimad Bhagavatam, transcendental instructions on the process of devotional service, and it's very important for devotees to read and understand these instructions. Now, in the purport to this verse number 42, Srila Prabhupada has referred to four verses earlier in the chapter, that is to say verses 8 through 11. These are sometimes known as the four seed verses of the Bhagavad Gita, very important verses, so I'll read through them. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartate iti madva bhajanti mam buddha bhava samanvita. Lord Krishna said, I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know this perfectly engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. Mat chitta madgata prana bodhayanta parasparam katayantas chamam nicham tushanti cha Ramanti cha. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully devoted to my service, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayanti te. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Tesham ivan ukampartam ahamagyana jam tamaha nasayam yatma pavosto gyana dipene bashvata. To show them special mercy, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. So this is the purpose of Lord Krishna speaking the Bhagavad Gita. It is to enlighten the conditioned souls, as he himself says in the fourth chapter, Pritvanaya Sadhanam Vinasaya Chaduskritam Dharma Samstapanartaya Sambhavami Yuge Yuge. He comes to encourage the devotees, the pious person, to annihilate the miscreant and to establish the principles of religion. Religion, Srila Prabhupada said, means to develop love of God. Otherwise, it has no real use. Although people in pious, materialistic society perform religious rituals, their purpose is generally just to get material benedictions, economic development, so they can live comfortably, enjoy the senses, and when they grow old and tired, then they want liberation, which is usually impersonal liberation. That is a cycle of dharma, artha, kama, moksha, which Vyasadeva explained extensively in the Vedas, but even after he compiled all of that, he was feeling dissatisfied at heart, and he approached his spiritual master, Narada Muni, for guidance. And Narada Muni chastised him that you have encouraged people to engage in sense enjoyment in the name of religion. So this is verily not so good, he said. You should compile a scripture which focuses on Lord Krishna and devotional service to Lord Krishna so that people can understand the highest goal of life and how to attain it. There was discussion between Lord Chaitanya and the Tattvavadi Acharya in Udupi when Lord Chaitanya was in South India. Lord Chaitanya, as he did in several other instances when he met big, big pandits or acharyas, he took the humble position and asked questions like a disciple does to a spiritual master. So he asked the Tattvavadi Acharya, what is the goal of life and how does one attain it? And the Tattvavadi Acharya said that the goal of life is to attain one of the five kinds of liberation and the means is through Varnashram Dharma. Lord Chaitanya said, well, that's all right. But he said, actually, the real goal of life is to attain Krishna Prema, love of Krishna. And the means to attain it is Bhakti Yoga. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Bhagavad Gita, we can learn about Krishna, who is Krishna, what are his qualities, and how we can develop our relationship with Krishna. Of course, Bhagavad Gita in the beginning especially explains who we are, that we are eternal spirit souls, eternal parts and parcels of Krishna, but then goes on to explain who is Krishna. And this chapter, Krishna explains in a variety of ways his transcendental opulences so that we can gain a greater understanding of his transcendental nature. We can never fully understand Krishna, but still, by the grace of Krishna, by the grace of the acharyas, and by dint of following the process of devotional service, we can develop more and more understanding of Krishna and attachment to Krishna and ultimately love of Krishna. So Krishna therefore is speaking the Bhagavad Gita to eradicate the ignorance of material existence from which we are suffering. People in the material world, by and large, they are immersed in ignorance. They don't understand who they are, who is God, what is their relationship with God, or how the material energy is working. They may have some small technical knowledge of some aspect of the workings of material nature. Somebody is a geologist, somebody is an electrician, somebody makes airplanes. So they get some, you know, training, some kind of material education. But Prabhupada said this is sudra business. People in the material world, they're very impressed, you know, by computers and aeroplanes and, you know, so many things, fancy motor cars. But this is all sudra business, Prabhupada said. Actually, when motor cars were first invented, they were thought to be very gross and noisy and, you know, making a bad smell. Now everyone's driving around in their fancy motor cars, but the overall effect is the same. It's polluting the atmosphere and polluting the consciousness and immersing people more and more in sense gratification and having to work hard like asses in order to maintain all these material facilities. Life has become very complicated. And as a result, many people are suffering physically and mentally. So many people in mental asylums, taking all kinds of medication, This is a Kali Yuga. It's a very unfortunate situation in human society. Human society can be so wonderful as we read the descriptions of Satya Yuga, how wonderful and simple life was, and everyone was focused on devotional service to the Supreme Lord. So they had clear understanding of their spiritual identity and the ultimate goal of life. And they kept a material, you know, aspect simple and basic. So their satisfaction came from the spiritual activities. But nowadays people have no understanding of spiritual activities or how to get spiritual satisfaction, or even that they have a soul. They're so immersed on the bodily and mental platforms. And as a result, they're just struggling against the strong tide of material existence. They're being sucked down by the whirlpool of material existence. Just like, say, someone put you in a big washing machine and just, you know, churned you round and round. So this is how people are living in the material world. They're just being churned around and around in this lifetime and from one body to another, and no control over the situation. In fact, they make their position worse. In their efforts to improve, they're making it worse. So this is very unfortunate. And Lord Krishna, of course, he feels sorry. He feels compassion upon such suffering living entities. And therefore he comes to give transcendental knowledge. And those who are fortunate, they accept the instruction of Lord Krishna and put those instructions into practice in their lives. Therefore they can transform their consciousness and rise above the influence of the modes of material nature and the workings of karma. But it requires determination. It's a battle, because the influence of Kali is very strong. Everywhere we see billboards and people, practically everyone has a TV in their home which is constantly, you know, blaring out materialistic propaganda, influencing people to engage in so many materialistic activities and convincing them they need so many gadgets in order to be happy. So it is, and when one has to work, there are so many people who are in material consciousness, so there has to be some interaction with them. So devotees, those who want to practice Krishna consciousness, have to be determined, they have to be serious, and of course, they have to gain strength through association. Srila Prabhupada established so many temples throughout the world to give the opportunity for spiritually minded people to associate together and encourage one another in the practice of Krishna consciousness. As he said, one bamboo can easily be broken, but if you have a lot of bamboos together, you cannot break. He said, just as businessmen gather in the stock exchange and discuss the price of various commodities, how much is rice, how much is gold. So in the same way, those who are interested in Krishna consciousness, they can come to the temples of ISKCON and engage in the practice of bhakti yoga. Lord Chaitanya enumerated 64 aspects of bhakti yoga, but among those he emphasized 5. Sadhu Sangha Nama Kirtan Bhagavat Shravan Mathura Vas Shimurtira Shradaya Sevan. So these 5, he said, Sakala Sadhana Sreshte Panchanga Krishna Prema Janmaik E Panchalpa Sangha. So just a little performance of these 5 aspects can awaken one's love for Krishna. So ISKCON is founded and based upon these 5 aspects to give facility especially for these five aspects of devotional service. Sadhu Sangha, so devotees can gather together. And when they gather together, what do? They chant kirtan, they listen to the Bhagavatam, they worship the deities with devotion and enthusiasm. And as a result, it becomes a holy place. Visiting Mathura, Vrindavan, Mayapur, of course, it is recommended. But these temples in other places, they also become holy places. Because Krishna is there, and Krishna's devotees are there. And they're engaged in hearing and chanting, and thus they're purifying those places. Devotees purify even the holy places, Yudhisthira Maharaj glorified Vidura. Since, like you, are verily holy places personified, because you carry the personality of Godhead within your heart, you turn all places into places of pilgrimage. So this is the effect of devotees' association, and even holy places which become burdened by the sinful activities of so many people going there to unload them, to take bath and unload their sinful reactions. Those holy places become purified due to the presence of serious devotees who are engaging in Krishna Katha, Krishna Kirtan, Krishna Bhakti. So Lord Krishna therefore comes to give this instruction, and we are fortunate that the acharyas have preserved this instruction and taught it extensively, passed it down through the parampara, and that Srila Prabhupada was so greatly empowered by Krishna to distribute Krishna consciousness all over the world and has given it to us in so many forms, but especially in the form of his books. These books, they're translations, of course, of the most important bhakti scriptures. And Lord Krishna himself is speaking here in the Bhagavad Gita. But then again, just reading the verses, we may misunderstand. For example, in a conversation between Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy, Lord Chaitanya, again, he was taking the position of a disciple, and he was asking how to attain perfection of life. And Ramananda Roy began by saying that just follow Varnashram, and Lord Chaitanya said, that's nice, but it's external. Then he quoted a series of verses from the Bhagavad Gita, and Lord Chaitanya said, yes, of course, it's very good, but people might misunderstand in this way or in that way. As he said, yat krosi yat asnasi, offer everything you do, eat to Krishna. But Lord Chaitanya said, people may still have that fruitive mentality. Then he proposed sarvadharmam prajaja, you know, just give up all varieties of activity and surrender unto me. And Lord Chaitanya said, people might go to the other extreme and give up all their responsibilities. So that tendency could be there to misunderstand the verses of the Gita. But when Ramananda proposed that one should find a pure devotee of Krishna and under his guidance practice devotional service, Lord Chaitanya accepted, yes, this is the way. And Krishna himself says in the Bhagavad Gita also, we should accept a spiritual master and hear from him and serve him like that. In this way, one can please Krishna. As Prabhupada said, love me, love my dog. If you see a man walking with his dog, if you give something to the dog, the man is pleased. Or he's walking with his little son, if you give something to his son, he's pleased. So in the same way, to please Krishna, we should please and serve Krishna's devotees. This is the way. We know the story of Ambarish Maharaj and Durvasa Muni, how Ambarish Maharaj was a king, but he was a great devotee. Durvasa Muni was a mystic yogi. And he had the habit of going to visit devotees unexpectedly, bringing many followers. And they had to quickly arrange for his prasadam. Sometimes it's very inconvenient, just as when he visited the Pandavas in the forest. And by grace of Krishna, they were able to deal with the situation. So Ambarish Maharaj also, he wanted to accommodate Durvasa very nicely, but it was a Dwadashi morning and he had to break his fast, Ekadashi fast, and he asked Durvasa and his follower, take bath please in the river, come back and your meal will be ready. In the meantime, he consulted the brahmanas in the palace, what shall I do? They said, take little water. So he took little water to break the fast. But Durvasa understood by his mystic powers